Welcome to Le Rendezvous. My name is Garance Doré and I'm a writer with many stories, gossips, ideas, theories and points of views to share about the world we live in. I wanted to create this special moment to talk about all the things that are going on in our lives. So come, let's spend a moment together. Le Rendezvous is brought to you by Doré, the skincare line I co-created, wanting to bring more simplicity and efficacy to our lives. Check out the end of the episode for a special code just for you, the Rendezvous listeners. Today, let's talk about dating in your 40s. So you know that I'm 47, and you might also know that I met someone online when I was about 44 or 45, something like that, 3 years ago, basically. And it means that I was dating when I was 44, 43, which is a very interesting age to date. And so I thought today I would tell you about it, my experience, but also what I've learned and see maybe some of it can help you. Maybe. I don't know. It's all personal experience. So where do I start? Well, number one, I loved being single, but also I was very bad at being single, meaning that I'm the opposite of a very calm, relaxed type of dater. I'm the type of person that will fall in love right away, will go absolutely crazy, will stalk, try to know everything. I'm not cool with all that. I had never been really single. I used to be a serial monogamist, which should be the subject of another podcast, to be honest. It was quite interesting and pathetic at the same time. So this was the first time I was finding myself alone, and it was as beautiful and rich and profound in all the solitude and the thinking that I could do as it was ridiculous, pathetic, hysterical, because I would end up meeting men and I couldn't keep myself sane. So you have to be conscious of this background. I'm not talking from the standpoint of somebody that can give you advice because she's so good at it. I can give you advice because I'm so, so, so bad at it. But first, let's start with where to meet someone. In my case, I was looking for a man. Number one, you have to go out of your way in today's world. It's very rare. And I think even more in America, there is a different culture. I think in France, people will talk to you on the street, will offer you a coffee. There is more of a Latin, if that's what you can call it, culture. So we're used to that. And I think people are definitely on dating apps, but it's not as necessary as I felt like it was when I was in the US. First, I think if you really don't want to go on apps, I think it's interesting to try to start activities if you have time, right? But usually if you're single, you probably have a little bit of time and things that you want to do. My case could be like going on hikes with a group of people or organized trips. It sounds a little bit ridiculous said like that, but it's a great plan to get to know people in a way that's more natural than a harrowing weirdness that are dating apps. I believe in it, but it didn't work for me because I'm lazy and I don't love doing activities. I mean, I like it, but just not enough to have the range of number of men that I needed to meet the one guy that I would fall in love with. So very fast, I decided, okay, I'm going to put myself out there and I'm going to try dating apps. And well, one part of it was really curiosity. I didn't know if I was going to ever meet someone on there. I mean, look, okay, let's be honest. I always knew I would meet someone. I've never been one of these people that think, oh, I'm going to end up alone. Now, the true question was more, because I've been known to do that, what quality of relationship I would have ended up with, because there is a side of me that's not fixed and that probably will never be fixed. That's very desperate to be coupled up. meaning that if I'm not coupled up after a few months or maybe years, I would lower my expectations to whatever comes my way. As I said, this podcast is about the truth. I'm not here just throwing out advice and not being honest about myself. So I was never worried about that. I know that my twisted mind would make it happen one way or another because I'm very, very, very good at the man project, which we should talk about too. But today is about dating. We'll talk about the man project a little bit later. But I'm very good at it, meaning I can project anything on any guy as long as he's okay to look at. I can decide that he's the most beautiful man in the world, that he's actually a very talented person, even if he's not. I think women have a tendency to do that. But this is a generalization and I'm very, very bad. I do a lot of generalization. So please excuse me for this. So I decided I was going to go on apps a little bit because of my curiosity and I wanted to write about it. And there is always that side of me that never forget. Sometimes I go on adventures just because I think, oh, that's going to be a nice story to tell, isn't it? I know half of it was probably that I was really looking for someone. And so when I started looking at apps, there were two that felt interesting to me at that time. I think it hasn't changed much since then because I know I have a lot of friends who are still dating on apps, and so I know what's going on. And I was interested in Hinge, and I was interested in Raya. I wasn't so interested in Bumble because I didn't really like the idea. Bumble is an app where women are the ones supposed to reach out to the guy, and I just didn't think it made a ton of sense in any way. I don't know how it's empowering because anyway, you've both chosen, you've clicked and liked each other, so I don't know. I don't understand that, so I haven't never done it. Hinge is very cool because it's trying to make it more conversational right away. It's not just photos that you click on. There are also little stories, text. There are prompts that people can answer. And it makes it quite easy, actually, to show your interests, show your sense of humor, something else than just your face and the context of your life, like, oh, I like hiking or I like surfing or whatever you can show in a photo. So I quite love that. And the app, I think the look of it was pretty nice. I was on Tinder a couple times with friends and I just didn't like the way it looked. I know, sounds stupid, but I'm very, very into design. So I thought that was a good app and I tried it. And I'll tell you in a second how it worked for me. And then there was Raya. And Raya is a complicated one to talk about because it is not accessible to everyone. You have to be approved. It takes a few days. And for me, it was rather easy because I have a certain number of followers on Instagram. And basically, let's be honest, that's what they're looking at. You also have to have a few friends approve you, which was very easy because many of my friends were on there. So it didn't take a long time for me to be approved to get on Raya. Raya is, how can I say, it's focused on celebrities of any level from A to Z type of celebrity. A lot of influencers, a lot of models, specifically in LA where I was dating at that time, a lot of actors, but you know, not Tom Cruise, just a lot of type of actors, art directors, photographers. It's a weird kind of rarefied atmosphere and environment, but it is definitely making it different than Hinge because the way that I felt, and it's a bit annoying what I'm going to say, but it's the truth. The way that I felt was that when I was on Hinge, I was on a street, on a busy day, and any guy around was a potential. And it was a bit overwhelming, and it was a bit unrealistic. As much as I like mixing with all types, it was just too much. And I considered it. I went on a date with a guy from Manhattan Beach who was an accountant, and that was a lovely guy, but we were so opposite in so many ways. And I had this romantic dream that this was a great thing to do, to actually really mix up socially. But in reality, it wasn't as true as I wish it would have been. The truth is, on Raya, it feels a little bit more like maybe you're in a sort of Soho house. And I'm not crazy about Soho houses, by the way. I don't spend a lot of time there. So there is this part where you're like, oh, they're all annoying people that think they're very cool and important and all that. But in there was more of a pool of men that I could have the same language as, and that would understand my life, and that would potentially have a few things in common. And maybe they're also there thinking, oh my God, I can't deal with this type of people. So not everything is perfect on dating apps. There is not one perfect dating app. But the truth is, I end up meeting my guy on Raya. So Raya is very simple. It's the same. They think they're so different because you can put a music to accompany your profile. I think it's ridiculous, but that's the only thing that's different. You click on photos and that's what it is. There's way fewer people on Raya. It's a very tiny pool. It's a paying app. It's a filtered app. You have to be approved for it. Not everybody's approved. So you find yourself in a very small world, which is good and bad at the same time. Hinge, too many people. Raya, too little people. I don't remember exactly what happened for me. I started meeting guys mostly on Raya. The Hinge thing, as I said, was more me trying to get out of my comfort zone, my social world. And it felt more like an experiment than actually felt like, oh, something's going to work. Even though, as I said earlier, I would have liked for it to work and to meet somebody completely out of my world, a farmer or whatever. But in reality, it didn't work out like that. And I think when you look at statistics, people tend to mix with people that are in the same world. So let's focus back. I have so much to say about dating. Oh my God. When I was preparing that episode, I thought, what am I going to talk about? And now I realize there are so many subjects into one subject. So the number one thing I think that's really important is what you're looking for. And that's where being 40 comes and is a really interesting moment to really think about what you really want and what you're able to get, right? And that's not a bad thing to have less options. So that's when being 40 becomes a thing that you have to think about, being over 40. There is a big question, and I think it would be not very responsible to not talk about it. Number one is, do you want children? Do you have children? Do you want a man who already has children? Do you want someone who wants children? You don't have to put it out there, but you have to think on how you're going to make that clear. A lot of men who want children are not going to want to date a woman that's over 40. And that actually is sad, but it makes a lot of sense. I'm not going to go into those details, but you understand there are some realities that are quite important to consider. You can't say, oh, it's impossible to meet a man. If you're in your 40s, you want a guy who doesn't have kids, who wants kids, who's youthful, who all these things at the same time. It's not true. There are realities, and I think it's important to be conscious of that. In the same way, sometimes we don't realize that we're in a different moment of our lives. So for example, I think in your 40s, it's totally fine to have standards. I wanted somebody who had a good career. I was done with the dream that anything goes. I knew, because I had tried that right before, that a man in his 40s that doesn't feel good in his career, that hasn't succeeded, is something that's possible, but very, very difficult to handle. And it puts a lot of pressure on his partner. In that case, that was me before. So I was really done with that. So there are things now that you can expect. So for example, in your 20s, you can't ask that a guy has a full-form career, right? In your 40s, that's something that's pretty easy as an entry point to put in your description of the guy that you'd like to meet. Another thing is, does he have children? And maybe that's something you really don't want. And I think that's important to reconsider that, because imagine the number of men that you kind of block from yourself that could be wonderful, that could have wonderful children. Maybe they're grown-ups, maybe they're even little kids, but you could find a great way to all live together, whether you have children or you don't. It's totally cool to have a no way type of thing. I'm just saying it's important to consider. The other thing is the age range. I think that for me, what happened was more a mistake than anything else. I think that on Raya, there is a thing where you could put no age discrimination or something, which I did. So I met my boyfriend and he's 14 years older than me. And it was a very surprising thing because I'd never dated anyone even 1 year older than me. And it was also a wonderful thing. And that shows how sometimes I think when we widen our reach, whether it's geographically, whether it's in terms of age or even in terms of looks, because I'm going to tell you about the funny one after that. It's when we allow life to play with us and to show us things that we would never have thought for ourselves. So if you had told me that I would have met an actor 14 years older than me who was bald, I would have said, absolutely not. But the truth is, I think he's the man of my life. I didn't want an actor because I was in LA and I had this kind of disdain of distance. Like, oh no, you know, that's not the type of guy I want. And actually now realize there are many, many different types of actors. I didn't want a bald guy because I had this thing from when I was young where it was something that terrified me. I can't explain. And that changed. And because I hadn't realized that now I was in my 40s and my attractions had completely, totally changed. So that's what I would give you as a first advice, is like, widen your reach and try to see what's realistic for you today and what things you could be okay with and what things could be the unexpected, crazy thing. I was talking with my friend the other day and she was telling me, oh, I don't want to meet a guy with children. I was like, why? You're 47. Most guys your age or younger, older, will probably have children. You're cutting out 80% or something of men. She's like, but because I don't want him to have an infant. And I told her, well, there is very little chance that that guy will have an infant, number one. He's probably going to have teenagers or pretty grown-up kids. And number two, what is so wrong with an infant? I mean, I understand maybe you don't want to be a caretaker, but those are things that you can manage with that person. The infant probably has a mother. So it's just this kind of idea of widening. For me, just to be a little personal, I knew I was probably not going to have kids. And I had this kind of smile on my face when I thought, oh, I might meet a guy that has children and I have a fun family that's here and that's already made and everything will be wonderful with the mom and it will be great. All right, enough about this. How to present yourself. I think what attracted my guy to my photo was how natural it was. If you know me, you know that I have thousands of photos that are very sophisticated. I've been an ambassador and a model for, I mean, not that I look like a model, but you know, this is 2022 now, anybody can be a model. But I work for many brands. I have these photos where I'm super sexy, super sophisticated. I never put these on. I think my leading photo was a picture of me in my car with barely any makeup, just smiling at the camera. And I thought that was quite engaging. And actually, that's what Graham told me. He said, I loved your photo because you seemed like you were right here. So I did that. Put not too many photos, just a few. And as Raya doesn't need much of a text, I didn't explain too much who I was actually. I think I was pretty lazy on my profile. I was confident in my photos, not so much my looks, but I thought there was a vibe that would make you curious. So I say, try to start with that. Men are incredibly visual and your photo, unfortunately, or fortunately, is the hook. then I would say don't be too descriptive of what you want and what you don't want. I think it's pretty obvious, but just say a few things that are light and easy about yourself and don't pigeonhole yourself. I think you'll be much happier with a wide range of guys that it brings to you. That's basically it for the advice. Have a few good photos that you take yourself. Selfies, you know, are the best because there is this sense of intimacy and people are very used to them now. Take them with your phone. Don't have professional photos. If you have a few photos on your profile, maybe the fifth or sixth can be this professional, really cool photo, but don't do it too much because it's just weird, in my opinion. Okay, this is going to be my last piece of advice for today. I should invent a word that's not really advice, but that describes sharing my experience and see what you can learn from it, because I'm not an advice giver, I'm an experience sharer. Okay, so here is my experience with managing myself on an app. Number one, don't text for too long. It is so easy to show up as a totally different person than what we are. And it's the same thing on the other side. And you can have the most exciting, fun, sexy banter with any guy. But then when you meet them in real life, there is absolutely no vibe. So how to not lose too much time? And it's not so much about time, because if you're entertained, I don't think you're losing time. But what I'm worried about is creating too much space for this guy in your life when he starts occupying your thoughts. You might fall in love on a text conversation. Women do. It happens all the time. And then meeting them can become a real absolute disaster. So that's what I'm trying to save you from here. I would say 3 days of texting, 1 week if they live a little far, and then you have to jump on a call. And the first call can be without visual, that's fine, because it's sexy and it's exciting and it's nice, and you actually, it's kind of a pleasure to just connect with someone's voice the first time, and you can tell so much through someone's voice. But just do it as soon as you can, because you will understand so much about the person. If they don't want to jump on a call, I'd say start having your defenses up. There are some men, many of them, who like to entertain conversations with women on apps just to make themselves feel better. Maybe they're in a couple. Maybe they're not looking for a real relationship. Maybe they just want to have a lot of sex buddies and they'll call you one evening when they're alone and they want to meet and fuck, basically. Beware of that, because it can be very soul-destroying. So if you're really looking for someone, not too much texting, jump on a call. You will be able to see right away the sort of nobility of the man. Is he serious in his research? He can be very fun, he can be very entertaining, but he needs to be a little bit grounded and respectful and having a goal to eventually meet you. So call, and then if the call goes well, this is when you're speaking about a potential date. If he lives far away, which happens more and more now, and I encourage you, honestly, to widen your reach. My story is that the man that I met ended up living in New Zealand. If you want to talk about widening the reach, and now we both live together in London. I'm saying that because that's really funny. I have an anecdote where a guy that was living in the east of Los Angeles didn't want to meet me because I was living in the west. So some people just want to have people that are very close. I don't know if it's because it would have been easier to be just a booty call if you're in the same neighborhood, and it was just looking for that. But I thought this was so ridiculous. So let's say you live too far to plan a date in the next few days. Try a visual call and just do it. And I know it sounds unsexy and everything, but you can't let the relationship grow without having a lot of reality checks. Meeting, it's just like transforming the relationship from digitally driven to the true reality of the person. The first date, again, it's going to sound very mature and very unsexy, but the first date is best if it is a coffee for many reasons. Number one, there is this sense of reality where you can see who the person is in a better way. They're going to come dressed in their normal day clothes, you as well. And there's one thing that I think is very important is to realize that it's better to show yourself as you really are. Of course, you're going to enhance a little bit and be a little sexier in the beginning or pretend that you're this very well-adjusted, successful person. And everybody does that, and that's totally fine. But there is a sense of who they are, of meeting them during the day, that I think is quite nice. So I allow you to go on a one drink date, but you have to have plans after. It can't just keep going into a dinner or whatever. I think it's really important to take one's time to clash as much as we can with reality so that we avoid the void. And I'm going to talk about the void. So that you avoid regrets, drinking too much, sex the first night that doesn't end well, feelings of guilt, of shame. I'm all for experiencing things, but I also think dating makes us very fragile. And what I'm trying to do here is to protect you as much as I can, because I didn't protect myself a few times and I did regret it. So just one drink, or better, a coffee. I wouldn't do a hike with a guy. I just think it's too much. It's too involved. But if you're super sporty and all, apparently some people do that. I like just sitting at a coffee and maybe it's half an hour, but you feel the person and there is this connection that happens. Because why that? Because the truth is, hopefully, most of your dates will end up being disappointments. I don't think it's a good thing to meet the right guy right away. So we hope that you will have, hopefully, I don't know, 10, 20 dates that are disappointments. I think it means you should do your dating work really well with each of the guys, because you're going to learn so much about yourself while you put yourself out there. So not all of them are going to work, and that's really good. But that's also why you don't want to give too much of yourself, and you want to give yourself the chance that you can leave after 5 minutes, which happened to me a few times. Sometimes you just sit with a guy and it's awful right there. And if you're stuck at a restaurant on a dinner date, it's the actual worst. And that's when you might start drinking, and that's when bad things might happen to you. So we're trying to avoid that, because we're trying to keep this a lovely experience where you feel in control. I think that's quite important, and I think that we should pick up the conversation in another rendezvous, because I have so much to tell you about. We'll talk about holding off on sex, trying to date more than one person at a time, all these things that are really important. Thank you for listening today, and see you next time. Le Rendezvous is brought to you by Doré. Minimize bathroom time and maximize outdoor time with our super simple routine of Made in France skincare. Use code PODCAST10 for 10% off your first order. Thank you for listening to Le Rendezvous. If you want to know more about me, find out about my newsletter and my community, find me on Instagram at Garance Doré or at my website at garance.world. And well, if you'd like to find out how to spell that crazy name, just check out the show notes. Until next time, sending you love.